All the singing and dancing of Can't Stop the Music, but none of the fun. Jamie,
yep.
Let's go watch Fame.
Welcome to another episode of Good Times, Great Movies. I am one of your podcast hosts. My name is Jamie Lorello. On the other side of things is DP McCambridge.
Yes.
We're here to enthusiast. I feel like you were jazz handing when you said that. I hope you were. We get together every now and again to talk about a movie from the 80s. And tonight, today, whenever you're listening, that's what you're going to hear us do. Let's talk about a particular movie. This movie, fresh out of 1980. This is why I didn't ever see this movie.
Yeah.
This is a 1980 movie. I was just a baby.
We were a little young.
I wasn't
going
to watch it in the movie. Yeah. And then as I got older, I do think that if I had watched this in high school, mm-hmm. I was into theater and speech and debate, which was like performing. It wasn't like debating. So I was like a theater nerd. I would have liked this high school.
Speech and debate was a performance? I guess it was.
Yeah.
I guess. Okay.
It was speech and debate forensics. So we did.
You put on your white coats and you went into the crime scene. And
doesn't it sound like
yes.
that? Sounds like we should have. No, we performed like you did. Yeah, some of the categories were like poetry and prose, where you would like read like poetry.
So it wasn't debate at all.
Well, there was an aspect of debate and there was an aspect of speech. Like somebody a friend of ours on the speech and debate team, she was a speecher, I guess.
Sure,
and she would we'd go to all these competitions and she would speak about, I think it was cheerleading, females and cheerleading was her thing.
Uh-huh.
I don't remember, but I did duo interpretation. So I had a pal that her and I would do a scene from a play.
Okay.
And that's what we did. It was like 5 or 8 minutes long.
What was the play?
It was called Las Hermanas by Kathy Najimy and Mo Gaffney.
Okay.
And we did very well. We were number one in the state of Pennsylvania. And
what
we
are
went
you
to
about?
Yeah, and we went to Topeka, Kansas for nationals and placed 13th at nationals.
What? Out of I'm assuming 50?
Well, I mean, it was Topeka, Kansas.
No, but I mean, it's nationals. Wouldn't it be a team from every state?
Yeah, what? Well, no, but you, like,
Jamie,
it was intense. Yes, it was out of 50.
You kicked those Alaskans' asses.
Alaskans don't know. They don't know. So anyway,
but
with that
so
background,
exciting.
I think I would have liked this. Yeah, it was exciting. It was high school.
Yeah.
It was so fun.
So you know, really could have been in the drama department of this Fame school.
Well, that's what I liked about. There was an aspect, moments of this movie where I felt, because in high school especially, well, I don't know so much for you, but
yeah.
at least for me, you did have these moments of like, wow, I'm a creative, you know, you just felt like you were on the peak of, well, I guess in some ways who you are
sure.
about to become, but on the peak of your like creative blossoming,
yeah.
I guess,
no, I
you
think,
know?
I think that this... You know how in high school they have the option where you can go to a technical school?
Yes.
I wish they had something like a Fame school where you would spend half of your time doing your whatever, reading and writing and math
right.
at regular high
right.
school. But then you could go and it was for people that were maybe into the visual or performing arts. You could
yeah.
you'd take a bus and this is what you would do because you would – you knew that that's what you wanted to do.
Don't you think you would have enjoyed high school in a different way if this is what you were into?
I certainly would have. Because
yeah.
like, I would have a free period, so what I would do is I would go into the art room and I would just
and that's
do
where you
my,
would,
you know, work
yeah.
on my stupid art projects and stuff. And, you know, yeah, to do more of that because in my high school, there was like, it was just a class called art. Like, there wasn't even... computer graphics,
like photography or anything like that?
No, it was just art where you would paint and you would draw and you would whatever. And it was all just one classroom.
They're like, we got markers, yep. We got Sharpies, we got, you went to school in Pennsylvania, right? Kind of, not, would you call it rural where you went to high school?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. There were a lot of trucks in that parking lot. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So before I moved to Pennsylvania for ninth grade.
Right.
So in high school in New York, you could go to like your zoned high school, like your local high school, or you could apply to these different like kind of specialized high schools. Mm-hmm. Like my brother went to one in New York that was for smart kids because he was very smart. but I did apply because I moved. My parents moved me in with my grandparents mm-hmm. in ninth grade because that's just the thing. You would apply to these schools right. and then you would go to them. But typically you had to get a bus and a train and go into the city just like these kids did right. in this movie. My very loving, very protective parents couldn't see innocent me, who really I'm glad they allowed this to happen. They did not allow me to go and pursue. I think it was John Bound. There was a school for writing that I had applied for and that I got into and that I was going to go to, but didn't because I moved to the Poconos and went to Pocono Mountain instead and loved it. That's where I think we talked about this recently when we were together. That's where I found my hippiedom and my other side of myself. Sure. So it really did.
I don't know though. When we finished our show in Philadelphia and you frolicked down the streets of Philadelphia giving everybody high fives, everyone who would take them, you would give those high fives. I could see you wandering the streets of Manhattan or wherever you would go to school and doing this.
I think this was my parents' fear that I would do exactly that.
For so me, like, it's entertaining. For anybody else,
it's a
terrifying thing to witness.
Yeah.
You could have been snatched off the street at any moment.
I know.
Well, okay. So, all right. Well, then, I mean, I knew that schools like this existed, but I really didn't know anything beyond, these must be a thing.
And they are.
All right. Well, it's fame, just in case people had no idea what we were talking about.
In case they were just picking up context clues.
Or what episode you hit play on, you probably read the little title which said the name of the movie. Oh,
yes.
Before we get started,
this
is digging back and back several months at this point.
Oh.
And I don't know how I got down this weird rabbit hole in IMDb, but I found myself on the Gung Ho page.
What a good page to be on.
Yes. And do you remember in Gung Ho how there was that super attractive girl who had no purpose in the movie?
Oh, yeah. His girl.
Only so they could whistle at her. And Michael Keaton had apparently dated her.
Yeah. Well,
that girl, and I know we like to point out people that have been in past movies, she was in the horror movie Waxwork, but for all you patrons out there, she was the girl in Blame It on Rio.
Oh.
Not Demi Moore.
No, the girl, other one.
Yes, in Blame It on Rio. And we didn't know it at the time, and I don't know how it And I put that in my notes because it was so important.
I got to mention this. People got to know. Blame It on Rio. I mean, especially a patron should know.
I think it's only because we're going to stumble onto at least two, I believe, people that are in this movie that we've had in other.
Well, we have a DC Cabber.
Remember when she went to go perform for Ronald Reagan? And that's when he told me I could never do a Reagan impression ever again on the podcast.
We do have to limit you sometimes. You have some great ones.
No, I understand. But no, I get it.
Okay. All
so
right.
Nobody will ever hear that again. Go listen to the DC Cab podcast. That was a fun movie. All right.
It was.
So, yeah. So this is Fame. We're talking about Fame from 1980.
Yes.
This is before the TV show. And I could... Yeah. I understand why this was made into a TV show.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I think that... And not to ruin my feelings, this is primed for a TV show over, let's say, a movie that chronicles 1,000 characters over 4 years.
I know.
Like, this is perfect TV show material. I'm sure it worked well as a television show. From what I saw, it was successful. But so was this movie. So, you know, what do I know? All right. Well, maybe, you know, you can chime in with if your brother's experiences really come into play here. Probably not.
Okay. There was definitely not auditions like that. What is it? Just a bunch of nerds trying to do math together or right, you know, speak French? No, there wasn't an audition like that. They didn't have
division flashcards in front of your brother? Or for some reason, he didn't just have to take a harmonica with him? He's like, well, in case I don't get into the smart kids, I can just walk across
I'll
the hall.
I'll just play the music. Yeah.
This movie starts with...
kind of intensely, right? Like, who's this
very
guy?
Intense.
What's he talking about?
Because this ginger nerd who, I don't know, I'll just refer to as Red the whole time. Because these characters' names are not important.
Well, and they're hard to hold on to. Like Coco, I realized that Irene Cara's character name was Coco at the very end, when she's with that weird rapey guy.
Jamie, we have done this several times where you and I both discover a character's name at the same time in a movie, and it's very late, which makes me think they're not doing a very good job.
No, because we are paying attention to this movie. Like, we're taking notes. If we don't note the name till the end, that tells me that you're not giving me enough to go for, or at least... Yeah. A couple of the dudes I know, like the Ralph guy, because they say his name a lot.
I just called him Bandana most of the time, but he gets rid of that bandana by, I'm going to say, junior year. That's the other thing. We go through 4 years, no character changes at all.
No
physical attributes. Nobody grows a mustache or cuts their hair or anything.
No.
This could take...
This could have been a span of 4 weeks for all we know.
This could have been just October at school.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. All right. But anyway, so this red-haired guy is introducing himself. He's talking about how beautiful his mother is. It's weird.
It's very creepy. Yeah. You're like, I was like, what is happening? But then you realize he's an actor and he's reading some lines. He's auditioning with this monologue.
But it's for this school. It's a big school in New York, performing arts school. So you have the theater department, the music department, and the – wait, what's the third?
Dance
department. How could I forget the dancing?
I mean, they can.
Not enough dancing for my liking in this movie. Way too much singing.
I thought of that. I thought, I wonder if he's going to like it because of – You know, you surprised me with your love of Can't Stop the Feeling. Or
Can't Stop the Music.
Music,
Jamie,
not the
feeling. You can't stop the music. I couldn't stop my feelings.
But here's the difference. I didn't know if maybe you would get a little tied into it for the dance and stuff. But the characters, obviously, aren't nearly as colorful as the Can't Stop the Music ones. Like, and I think that's
nobody's
maybe
walking
what's
around
missing.
In overalls with no shirt on?
No.
And if it's not Steve Gutenberg, why am I even watching this
screen?
If
Steve Gutenberg isn't trying to roller skate across, nobody roller skates in this movie. Oh, no, that's not true. Leroy does.
When the teacher goes, what are you wearing? And I was like, he's wearing a shirt with his own name on it, lady.
And it's not a shirt, really. It's like he's
a half shirt. It's a cutoff shirt with his name on it. And she's amazed by the roller skates. And I was like, you're paying attention to the wrong part of his outfit.
Before we get ahead with Leroy. So the beginning is this. It's the auditions.
Here's what I want. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
You know, you were talking about how maybe this movie doesn't appeal to me in the way that Can't Stop the Music. I was in to this audition sequence. Best part of the movie, hands down. Like, if it was just 2 hours of auditions, if that girl who auditioned with Leroy was in the rest of this movie, I'd be like, damn it, I am in. Because she is F-bombing, shit-talking.
She's so pissed when she doesn't get in. So can we talk about that? Okay, we'll talk about some of the auditions. Of course. So the first, I guess, segment of the movie is the auditions. And we have the creepy red-haired guy doing his monologue that's just bizarre. When we meet Leroy, he is with, I don't know, who's his partner's name?
Mulholland.
Oh, that's
something.
Right.
Something Mulholland. So she has to spell it out.
They arrive for the auditions, and she's clear that it's her auditioning, but she needs him to dance with her, but he's not auditioning, but he's part of her routine. And he's packed knives with him.
He has so many knives.
He has to check a knife.
Yeah, the woman has to check his knife, and I love it how he's like, do you want it? Do you really want it?
Yeah, and you're like,
and
what are you doing?
And he's like, don't steal this, okay? And then he opens his jacket to reveal 45 knives.
And we never
in there.
Really find out why. I thought maybe they dance with knives or he throws them like he's a knife thrower.
That would be great, yes.
Nay. But
no, he just takes off his clothes and all the ladies are like, this dude is
their audition. They go to dance. And they, it really is, because even one of the other – the one of the judges is like, she's terrible, because she is. Like, I don't even know the moves.
She's like chicken dancing. She's like flapping
It's worse
her arms
than the
around.
Elaine. It's worse than the Elaine.
It
she's
really
just
is.
Like
– it's crazy. And I
– And all like, he's doing is rubbing his crotch. Like, he's not got doing some dance moves, but then he's just
smacking
like,
his ass and rubbing his balls all over the place. I'm like, what is this? And I don't want to beat up on these kids. First of all, they're apparently in high school. All these kids are in their mid-20s. Mm-hmm. But none of the auditions were all that impressive. Like,
no.
All of these – every kid that comes up to do something, like, well, they are clearly not in this school. No,
they all got in. Yeah.
Which is really crazy because, like you said, his dancing is not great, but he is putting on a show.
Yeah. Yeah, he's doing this. And that's why he gets in because yeah. – and he even says that's part of what he likes to do. He's not into school because he likes to be with ladies, I guess. It doesn't matter to him about learning. We find out later, poor guy can't read.
I know. So sad.
But so there – she does – and then, yeah, his partner – doesn't make the cut, and she's pissed about it. She F-bombs her way out of that school and at him. Yeah, I agree. I could have taken more Mulholland.
She
yeah.
calls it an ass-licking school. She's like, I don't want to be part of this ass-licking school. She's mad at Leroy because...
Well, Leroy kind of stole the show.
And it's not as though he's... I don't understand the routine. Like, I don't understand
no,
why
I
she
don't
needs
either.
Him. Well, he doesn't, like, lift her up like Patrick Swayze. Like, no, there's no reason
they,
for
like,
him to
dry hump
him.
Each other for a little while. And then they just are going off and doing their separate dances. Yeah, there's
You're
no...
right in that it's just him shirtless, smacking his ass and looking back at these judges. And those ladies be like, mm-hmm, that's right. He's in.
Yeah,
he's in. This is
we
amazing.
Just want him there. That's all. He should just be. Yeah, he's in. Leroy.
I
gets
do have
in.
To say though, they made the right choice. If
yeah.
I'm running a school and Leroy walks in, he's in my school because he's bringing it in a way that these other kids.
Yeah,
aren't.
He adds a little something to it. I'll tell you yeah. that. What
we
are
also
the...
see we see mm-hmm. a guy dressed as a jester for some reason.
Oh yeah, when they like, cut to like.
Full getup. Jester, he's got a puppet that's dressed like him. This is ridiculous. A kid plays a violin,
mm-hmm.
And when he's done, the music teacher's like, okay, great, that was fine. Now this lady's going to play notes on the
right.
piano, and I want you to sing them back to us? Why? Why?
And I like it. The kid's like, what? I can't go that low. Or I can't go that. I can't do that.
Yeah. Well, that's too high for me. Then she plays low and he's like, la, la, la. Why is this part of the audition? He can
I don't
clearly
know.
Play a violin very well. Is there any more that you need to know? And
no.
based on what these other kids can do, that kid should be there.
Yeah, he I should mean, be. Well, I don't think he makes it. But what about the goofy Italian kid that reads from Romeo and Juliet? Do you remember that greaseball?
I want to move with he and Mulholland just going to school together.
Like, what school did they get into? Because I want to follow their 4 years.
I do. I did think that it was very funny when he's done reading and the teacher goes, oh, and by the way, you read all the girl parts.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess – and also you could just show up. I mean, this is just an open call.
Yeah.
It appears anybody can wander in off the street. And what we
including,
find out is
oh, – Go ahead.
I'm sorry. There's another student that I want to talk about.
Please.
So, I guess you can go into this school and you can audition for all of it. You can do the
yeah,
drama.
You can, if you're
yeah.
into it all. Yeah.
I want to talk about the girl who auditions for drama by acting as O.J. Simpson
oh,
in the
yeah.
Tower Inferno.
She gets in the school because we see her later.
Yes,
she
know.
Gets in. She does. I like it when she goes, I'm walking down the stairs now. I'm walking down the stairs. And now I'm talking to them and they're not looking at
yeah.
me. So I'm mad.
Yeah.
She's like explaining
just,
it
I'm
all.
Just waiting for the elevator.
Yeah.
Just standing there. And then we keep coming back to her, and she's just standing, still waiting, and goes in, and she's like, it's really crowded in here. She's great. I'm glad she made that school.
Me too. Yeah, no, she was wonderful. Again, I wish, because in the auditions now, I'm realizing kind of what they're doing, and I'm like, oh, I wonder who's you know, high school years we're going to follow. And I was hoping she would be one of them, but
me too.
She wasn't.
Because you do get a sense that you're going to follow multiple characters.
Yeah.
But at this point, you're not sure who. Mm-hmm. And one character that I did not think we were going to follow was this very mousy girl in pigtails gets up.
Mm-hmm.
And her overbearing mother tells her to sing.
Mm-hmm.
And she does a terrible job.
Well, she sings with a recording of her brother playing piano.
Yep.
And she sings The Way We Were. Memories.
Yep. She sure does.
Light the corners up. Just like this. I'm doing a pretty good imitation.
You're doing better than she did, and she gets into performing arts school.
Yeah.
That's where I was like, okay, well, this is one of these things where this girl doesn't look like she's going to do great, and then when she starts singing, she's going to blow us all away.
Yeah. Yeah, she's going to be so shy, and then, yeah.
And when she didn't, I was like, oh, this is a joke, like the greaseball who couldn't do Romeo and Juliet.
Right.
But it's not a joke.
No, she gets in.
I don't understand.
I think that perhaps the teacher, who is our DC cab friend, he's the drama teacher. Maybe he saw some potential in her.
Wait, hold on a second. The drama teacher's in DC cab?
Yeah.
He is.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about Irene Cara. I thought you were talking about Coco, who was in DC cab.
Oh, yeah. She is, too.
She just gets picked up. That's why I was saying she gets picked up, because she's singing at the White House.
That's right.
Comes full. You're right. It is him. And why does he just drop out halfway through this movie?
I know.
That guy just goes away.
I know. Well, and P.S., let's face it, our favorite character, Leroy, doesn't make it into the class finale. You don't see him at that end. Do you see him?
I don't remember.
No. His last scene is when he's fighting with Anne Merle, Ben Stiller's mama. What's her name? Anne. I thought it was Merle.
I don't know.
That's the teacher, the English teacher.
Right, yes. But she was an actress where I was like, I've seen her in 1,000 things, but I couldn't place her in anything. And so I was like, do I just know her as Ben Stiller's mom?
She's Jerry Stiller's wife, and they did comedy together.
Yeah, I know, but I know, but she is one of those
actresses where you're like, why do I know you? Are you a distant aunt? Who are you?
Because I went through, and I was like, well, she was in Sex and the City, and I was like, well, I've never seen that. And it was all these things that I know of, but I haven't
seen. So you figured you knew her that way. Yeah.
Right. I was looking for something to jump off and to go, oh, yeah, she played so-and-so's mom in this TV show, but nothing really jumped out to me. But anyway, she's a notable actress that's in this movie, and there aren't many of them in this movie.
Yeah. No, she plays the English teacher. And
she's
doing
a great job.
Yeah, she does do a great job. She really does. Yeah. Some of the other characters that we get to kind of follow, but then not, there's that Bruno guy. He's the guy that comes with all the equipment. He's kind of Irene Cara's, like, because he's got all the organs or the keyboards that he plays.
Yes.
So he gets into the music department, but he's kind of like he likes to make all his music with his synthesizers and his keyboards. And that's
because,
kind of,
again, they make him play a violin later for no reason.
Yeah.
Like, why are you doing this? But you know what?
Because they need to be well-rounded in the arts of
performance.
That's
a good point.
Yeah.
I mean, it is 4 years. They're not going to let him just play synthesizers for
4 years.
And
they don't like it. They get annoyed with him. They're like, that's noise. But his father is such a proud. His father, Bruno's father's a cab driver. He's very proud.
He's so proud
of
his son.
We'll see more of that pride that comes booming out for our titular song, actually, is played thanks to Bruno's dad.
Yeah, Bruno composed this music.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
And when did Coco
And why did we follow Ralph and not Bruno? Why do we follow more of Ralph and Lois Lane's cousin? Than Bruno and Irene Kerr.
I don't know. That's a, you know what? It's a great question.
Because they supposedly have that same sort of like kind of flirty real relationship, but we don't get into theirs. A little, no, not really. Not as much as we get into the other two.
No, and I would much, because this just turns into the Bruno show after a while, and I was kind of not.
You mean the Ralph show?
At that point. The Ralph show. Yeah. Sorry, Bruno's the.
Yeah, because Bruno doesn't get as much attention. Yeah.
No,
yeah, it does.
No, he doesn't do anything.
Yeah, it just turns into like. Well, where's Ralph's life going?
I don't know. Are we going to meet Richard Belzer? Sure, of course. Yeah. Why wouldn't he show up?
Yeah, he's going to be there. He's going to do a little stand-up for you. He's going to introduce and make a joke or two.
Yeah. I looked at him. I was like, I didn't know Richard Belzer used to look like Howard Stern. But he looks just like him. It's crazy.
It does. It's the shades and the tall and the long face. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that was all for the notable. I mean,
think that's it. Well, we kind of talked about Ralph. So Ralph is Puerto Rican.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what he says, and I guess that's what he is. But every time he tells someone he's Puerto Rican, they're like, no, you're not.
Because he doesn't He doesn't ooze that. At his audition, he's kind of all over the place, and he's talking about how he's here for his father, and he's imitating his dad, but we find out he's...
Everything's a lie. Like, everything he says
is a lie.
He's a
compulsive liar, yeah.
He thinks he's very funny. Like, everything's a joke. He does a terrible tap dance for the...
Oh, yeah, with bottle caps on his feet.
With bottle caps on his Converse sneakers. Uh-huh. He plays the harmonica and hits the piano a lot when he's doing the music audition. But he finds that he's more interested in drama, so... Mm-hmm. I guess you could just join that. Like, that's what he
did. That's what he signs up for, yeah. And then we're in freshman year, and we get to see who's really in it. And it's the freshman year where then we get a quick – all of the teachers telling you, like, how serious this is and how serious their particular
– It's the most difficult. It's the most important. Like, you know, it's a fun montage of each teacher of each school saying that to the students. And – This is fun, too, because we get to see everybody showing up for their particular classes.
Yeah, we get to see who made it.
Yeah, we get to see some nice class montages and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I appreciated, just for note-taking, that this movie does have title cards, that we do see freshman year.
Yeah, it was a nice way to kind of break up everything. Yes. Yeah,
But as we said before, do we need 4 years? Like, do we need to track their entire education?
And if we are going to, like you said, at least let's see some changes, some different maybe like hairstyles at least, and
maybe
some sort of growth.
The characters too.
Yeah.
Just pick 3 or 4 to concentrate on.
And give them something.
Right. This does not need to be 2 hours and 15 minutes long either. Mm-mm. I have a question for you about something I wrote in my notes. Maybe you can help here. At the beginning. Go ahead. No.
Nope. I thought it was the great line, I'm young, single, and I love to mingle.
It is not that.
Okay, because Leroy says that, and that's why he's the greatest character in this movie.
It's a pretty good line. Yeah. Leroy does take issue with his English teacher. He doesn't
He
doesn't want to speak white, and mainly it's that he can't read.
I think he's homeless. Doesn't he go to the one that is he homeless?
I don't know.
He goes to try to read and he's like in this pile of trash, like, and then he tells
reads
her later.
A washing machine manual at one point. I loved it. I was like, this is such a touching scene where he reads an old discarded washing machine manual.
But he's in like I don't think he's has a home, and he says something when he argues with her. Later, like, you don't even know that I don't have a place to go and read, because I think
several times in this movie, characters climb over smoldering rubble to get places.
Yeah, that's true. It does happen more than once.
Because Bandana, or whatever his name is, Ralph does it early on in this.
Oh, yeah. To get back to the other side, wherever he lives, South Bronx or whatever.
And later on, like you say, for some reason, we just cut to a bunch of homeless men around a flaming garbage can for a long time. And I was like, what did this movie turn into? But as you said, Leroy just shows up, sits under an overpass,
appears
to be homeless.
Yeah.
But then later he yells at the English teacher and he's like, I didn't go home. I never went home. You never asked me about that. And I was like, what? What are we talking about?
For four years?
This is your last scene in the movie, and I don't know where you live, and I don't know what you're talking about.
Mm-mm. And then I'm never going to see you again. You don't even get to be in the finale at the school. And but neither later, was she. The teacher wasn't there either. Like, you would think the English teacher would be clapping them along at the end. Like, yeah.
Yes. Or that there would be some resolution.
None of the teachers are there.
Slowly through the movie, every teacher disappears. But why doesn't their scene end with him sitting down on the bench and talking about, like, I've read that book you gave me or something, or asking her for help or
no, he's still mad at her.
Any resolution.
Well, and it's so funny because he goes to the hospital. He's told that she's at the hospital visiting her husband. And he's like, hospital? What? And you think it's going to be this sensitive, like, yeah, why does she have a husband? And he makes a joke like, yeah, of course she's sick. She's married or whatever. Or he's sick. He's married to her. And as soon as he gets there, he's fresh with her. He's like, you got to pass me. I can't fail. And she's like, this is not the time. This is just not the time. And then
it's crazy. She is clearly sobbing over her dying husband. And he shows up. He's like, bitch, you better pass me.
I need the grades. Like, I'm going to be a dancer. And she does. I don't blame her. She freaks out. She's like, why do you guys only think about yourselves? And then he comforts her. He holds her hand. But like, I don't know. Like you said, then that's it.
That's it.
That's it. We never see him or her ever again.
Right. And there's a lot of questions I have because when he says, you need to pass me, she goes, you should have thought about that for the past 4 years. I'm like, how is he passing every year?
So wait.
Why is he still there?
There's a scene. The very beginning, there's a scene where I thought he got kicked out after his first class. Because she wants him to read something. She's kind of rude about it. I mean, not the best teaching method, but she wants him to read in front of the class. Clearly, he can't read. He throws a fit, and he goes out in the hallway, and he breaks a bunch of glass, and he's kicking things. He, like, throws this whole tantrum. Everybody in class is looking at each other like, what in the world? Yeah. And she's trying to explain, like, you got to have this English. It has to be your background no matter what you're going to do. And I thought he was going to have to leave school after that. Me and then too. I see him roller skating around in sophomore year. And I'm like, you're still around?
You're still here taking this class, flipping off your teacher as you skate away?
It's a huge school. There's one English teacher. There's one drama teacher, right? Because she's the only one teaching English.
Yeah. I'm like, lady, grow backbone like that dance teacher. Be like, hey, you don't practice, get the fuck out.
How about that dance?
That was awesome.
She was so slacky, though, that girl that she kicked out.
That girl was so slacky.
I was like, how did you get into this school? And I love it. The dance teacher's always like, you're not sweating. And she's like, I'm not really. I'm trying. No sweat.
I love how she talks through the whole thing. Like, everybody else is dancing, and she's just gabbing it up with
anybody. She's getting all the gossip. Yep. Mm-hmm. It's clear. What are you here for?
Oh, my God. And her solution, I love it, is I'm going to fucking kill myself. Nope. I'll just transfer to drama. Done.
Yeah. I'm going to jump in front of the train. Just kidding. I think I'm more of the dramatic type anyway.
I'll just walk across the hall. This is where I am now. Problem solved. Mm-hmm. At least I'm not pregnant or, I don't know, in porno films. Like, this movie makes no sense.
That's right. All of a sudden, by senior year, we're all taking really dark turns.
It's so dark. That girl who's pregnant, that monologue, that pregnancy monologue at the end was great.
All of a sudden, so she's a rich girl that comes in like sophomore or junior year. She doesn't do auditions. She gets in. Is she pregnant with Leroy's child too? Like who's
she's
got to
be pregnant with Leroy's child.
So she is this snotty blonde white girl who is taking dance and is very rude to all of them. She's very uppity.
Yes.
And like towards the end of the movie, she's just sitting. And I thought she was doing a monologue at first. I'm like, I guess she switched to acting too.
I was like, she must have transferred with that other suicide girl. And they're both doing drama now.
Because she's just like talking. And I'm like, so she's talking to herself to just fill us in about where she's been these past 4 years. Yeah. And then there's just a woman at a desk with a nurse's hat. to let us know.
Let us know if it's like cash or charge. Like, it is such a crazy reveal because she's sitting in clearly not a hospital or anywhere where abortion
is. No, it's
take.
Like
there is an like, elaborate staircase behind her.
And even the nurse, she's at like the desk, like a desk in an office of like a home office, not of like a doctor's office.
Right. Yeah. Like the front desk in a hotel or something. Like,
yes.
It's so weird. And just her no reaction to this insane monologue.
Mm-hmm.
Just
about
her going,
wanting to be a
dancer.
Will
that be a cashier charge?
Uh-huh.
Like, I was like, wow, this is, I wonder what's going to, nope, never see her again either.
Mm-mm.
That's the end of that.
Yeah.
I mean, at least we see Coco singing at graduation.
Right.
Because if we didn't see her, I would be like,
where did her career go?
Right. I guess that porn film, I guess she was murdered. Like, I would have no idea what happened at the end of that.
And why did she continue? Why didn't she get up during all that?
Like, you know what? That's a great question.
Because she starts.
I just like. And it's funny that I don't want to say that something that specific was never discussed in any of her drama classes, but wouldn't you think a teacher might bring that up? Like, if you go into an audition and it's just a single camera and a couch, and maybe they ask you to take your clothes off, maybe don't do this?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I would figure you would point the dangers or point to the dangers of that.
Sure, sure.
In your class, in one of those classes.
If it's a performing arts school, you want to be clear on the things. Yeah.
I even tell my graphic design students, like, I can even tell them at some point, I'll be like, okay, if you get an email and it says this, this, or this, there's a chance you're not going to get paid for that job, so don't do it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like,
so
even
you got to be aware.
I point out those stupid dangers of the business.
Sure.
And you're right. Like, she's just crying, taking her clothes off. And I'm like, this isn't your big break. Like you know that this is just
Yeah, you could just
creepo.
Get up and walk away.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I wanted to see the conflict there. I wanted to see her because she seems like a strong. She goes up to Bruno and is like, let's make this happen. We got to.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, when did that happen? How did we overlook that? It's in their freshman year.
It's in their freshman year.
That they
year,
do
and
their cafeteria chaos, that they go crazy and just do that whole hot
so
lunch number.
Great. It is. It's right away. We're introduced to everybody.
That's
Leroy
probably
freaks
one
out
of the better.
English,
yeah.
And then there's lunchtime.
Yep. And there's a lot of singing. There's a lot of dancing. There's a lot of instruments. Like, the cafeteria is just low. Because like you said, if you play it, you carry it around with you. So.
Yep. And my whole thing was I'm watching this and it's a performance. Like, everybody is singing and dancing.
Everybody. And there's a guy with a top hat on.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And the moment I'm watching this and in my mind I went, I bet those drama students feel left out. They show two girls at a table dressed as like turn of the century peasant girls. Like, oh, all right. The drama students are in on this.
They're
too.
There. Yeah, it's okay. No organization to that cafeteria, I'll tell you that. And I didn't see anybody eating a lunch, but hey.
Well, this is important because Lucy Lane, Doris,
uh-huh.
Is that what we decided her name?
I think that's not her real name, but we decided
whatever.
It. That's...
We'll call her Doris or Lucy Lane throughout. Past episodes. Well, wait. Supergirl hasn't come out. It's on Patreon or will be soon. So join Patreon and you can
it's like a Back
listen
to the
our
Future
Supergirl
thing.
Talk.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. It's like a Back to the Future thing. It happened, but you don't know about it. So she escapes. Like, it is way too chaotic in this tiny lunchroom, too. Like, I don't know how they're all in this one single small room.
Yeah.
She escapes to the stairwell. Where she meets the red-haired kid from the beginning of the movie.
Who's really weird. He's very strange.
Very strange.
He was very flat in this. I thought, especially because his character does become like one of the ones that we see reoccurring in the 4 years. I wanted more, like, I don't know.
Growth? Development?
Yes, more growth,
something?
More development, or more like... Yes. So he comes from apparently some sad life. Some of that monologue he's doing in the beginning is, I guess, relatable to his real life because his mom He's got some apartment that is just in the city that his parents left him, right?
Well, his mom is a famous actress. It appears that his mom is doing stuff, whether it's Broadway. I mean, I guess it's not Broadway because she's always out of town. She must be on a TV show or a soap or movies or something because students know of his mother. He's seeing a psychiatrist or a therapist. But and I'm not saying this is the reason he's seeing the therapist, but it appears to be his main issue is that he's gay and it's a problem.
And it's an issue for who? I don't know, but because he's in a performing arts school.
He's and I questioned, I questioned Leroy's sexuality.
That's what I was going to say.
Through the movie.
I thought Leroy was kind of swinging at all fences. And I didn't judge that. I just thought, you know what? You love it. You love everyone.
Oh, of course. I'm not judging anyone. This
He's
movie.
Single and he loves to mingle.
He loves to mingle. It doesn't matter with whom.
No.
But what I don't get about this red-haired kid is I thought the whole reveal at the end was going to be that he's not gay. And that he's really into Lucy Lane, and he hates that she's now hooking up with Bandana.
Right, he's jealous.
Like, I really thought that that's where it was going.
No.
But it doesn't. It doesn't go anywhere.
He doesn't, and I don't want this to come out wrong. Like, if he's going to be the gay one, then you want a little more of that flair. And that's what I mean. He falls flat. And as far
Jamie,
as
we
like,
all don't have to be like assless chaps.
No, I don't need him to be assless chaps. But
there are plenty of Anderson Coopers out there who are just living
their
life.
You're right. You're right. I'll just call him Andy.
No. But it is funny that you're right. They give all the flair to quote unquote heterosexual Leroy.
Yeah.
They don't give any of it to any openly gay character in this movie.
Mm-mm.
And by openly gay character, I mean the one that we know about.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Like you said, it is a performing arts school. You would figure
this is your home. This is where you could feel accepted, right? This is where,
you're living in, and I understand it's 79/80, but still, you're in New York City. At a performing arts school.
And your mother's and an actress.
Right, exactly. And this is not, and I hope this doesn't come out as wrong, because I understand that it's still a struggle for some people.
Oh, yeah, not.
But it just seemed like an odd characteristic to give a character in this movie, and one that we are just hanging out with for more than anybody else. We're with this guy all the time in this movie.
He is around a lot.
Way more than, like you said, the guy who plays synthesizers or Coco or...
Yeah.
Abortion, or I don't know.
I love your tag names for some of them.
Sorry,
that was great.
Like
let's go back
around
to the girl that auditioned with as O.J. Simpson. How come we don't follow a little more of her life? Her 4 years.
I want to spend time with her in her dorm room.
Yeah.
Yes.
I bet she made some major transformations, and I bet she was even better at stand-up comedy than Ralph.
Oh. Ralph, who has one routine, does a set, and then just does the same thing again the next night. But if he doesn't have everybody from his school that he invited, who's laughing?
Then there's no one's laughing. And how hearty do they laugh? His friends think he is...
Oh.
Ho, ho, ho. Ha, ha, ha. They're clearly actors watching their actor friend.
And that is the problem with Ralph the character, is half the time... I think we're supposed to think that he's the biggest creep and just
Well, he
such
says
a
that
jerk.
That's part of his routine, too, is that he's an asshole, right?
But really, we're supposed to think that he is hilarious, and I never thought anything he was doing was hilarious.
No. And I did think, okay, so there were certain moments in this film, and maybe it was that I felt, right? That I was like, aw.
Okay.
So something happens with his sister. So he's very close to his family or his sisters, right?
Right.
His mom apparently, his dad's in jail. Mom just takes it up with any men she could have support him and the sisters. I don't understand his whole, because he goes on this model, this sad little, he's very
Good
sad.
Question.
There's huge chunks of this movie that there's just sadness that we get to sit
sadness,
in.
Like steeped in sadness to where it doesn't belong in a movie
It's
like
uncomfortable.
This.
It's I just need another, can you sing about it? Because that might help me feel better about it. But he gets really sad about his sisters, and one of them, I guess, the youngest, the five-year-old. What happens? So he goes home, and we see him interacting with his sisters where he's watching TV with them, Spanish TV. And then he's not home, I think. Is it because when they're going to see the Rocky Horror Picture Show, which is a really fun scene?
Yes.
So they're out watching the show, and his sister's watching TV, and she steps outside of the apartment, and all we know is she's calling for him, and then, I don't know, I guess.
And then the end, it is a weird scene where suddenly we see a child walk out of an apartment down the steps. I'm like, what the hell is going on?
Where
what
is she
watching
going?
Now?
No, and you don't know. And then I'm like, and you don't really get. So then the next follow-up scene for that is where Ralph goes to church and meets up with his mom and his sisters and kind of yells at his mother and the priest and is like, you're not really taking care of this. She needs to see someone. She needs to go to a doctor. But what happened to her?
I don't know. Everything about this scene to me said that she was sexually assaulted.
That's what
but
I thought.
Nothing that anybody says, none of the words say that. He said that she was hurt by an older man.
Yeah, by a junkie,
that's as
right?
much as we – yes. Then he does talk about how a guy smashed her head through a wall at 1.2.
Yeah, mm-hmm. She's had a rough one, this 5-year-old.
This had a rough life. Why is this movie not about this poor girl?
Right? And
It's so weird because he goes on a...
Oh, it's so sad.
It is such an overwrought monologue.
Yeah.
He's crying. There's snot running down his face.
Oh, So this is the moment I felt is when it gets awkward. So he's so sad because he has this sad moment. And I don't think they've had any real romance yet. But then Doris goes and they're kind of like kissing. And it was very, to me, it was a very sweet feeling,
very
genuine
sweet.
Moment. Where like,
I agree.
Yeah, you kind of romantically connect to someone over their sorrow. Now, what gets awkward is our gay friend Montgomery is still there. And he's just like, they start making out. And this is his apartment. And he just quietly leaves the keys for them and walks.
Why does he leave the keys? Like, lock up when you're done, I guess? It was such a sad, like,
I don't know.
I read it as, this is your apartment now. I guess I'm done. Like, it is such a weird. He does not need to be there. He does not need to be in this scene. It's almost as though they were like, well, we can only shoot this in this kid's apartment. That's all we have for this day of shooting. I guess it has to take place here. Well, it's his apartment. He should be here. And let's let him awkwardly back out of the room at the end.
Well, and I thought it was him that originally, and that it was Montgomery, our redheaded friend, that originally invited Doris to the Rocky Horror Picture Show. But then she ends going. But then she ends up going with Ralph and then later telling.
Right. Now, I believe, and I could be wrong here, but I believe he invites her freshman year. And when happens, it's junior year or something like that. So I assume they've been there multiple times as a group. Maybe the three of them have gone before.
Okay.
Maybe sometimes she goes with Montgomery. I don't know.
Okay.
I didn't know we were going to see so much of Rocky Horror in this
movie. I know.
They play long stretches of that movie. Yep. And that is where I was like, this doesn't need to be 2 hours and 15 minutes.
Well, one couple of fun things is in freshman year when we're in acting class and they're practicing their screams and they're chewing and they're moving of their tongue. That's just fun. And that is really stuff, goofy stuff you do in acting
do
class.
Do they? Okay. I really enjoyed that. I like the chewing and the tongue exercises and them just laying on the floor. I really thought that was fun. I was like, this is probably real, but I'm not sure. But
they
I'll
make
bet
you
Jamie
do-
can let me know.
All kinds of goofy, like, exercises about getting into your, you know, just getting into yourself, into the realm, and not even thinking, and no judgments. And
I don't hate that. I really
No, of course, you, that's
really
why you would have gone into the acting
that.
Portion. I know.
Probably
if you were in the performing
have.
Arts school, that would have been your thing. Oh, but, what about the guy?
Yeah, go ahead.
So, in the beginning, it might be freshman year, Doris has got some crush on this senior guy who's going to go off to California to become an actor. He's got these auditions. He's signed with an agency. And then I think it's the junior, maybe even their senior year, where they're out to a restaurant and he's their waiter.
It's
and
great.
It's another sad, like,
it's
he's
so
like, oh,
sad.
Yeah, California, it didn't work out for me.
Yeah. I like it when he says, well, I did some episodes of blah, blah, blah. And they're like, yo, really? And he's like, yeah, it's a soap opera. And they're so bummed out. Like, they're like, oh, a soap.
And then something else he did. And he's like, yeah, but it got cut. And they're like everything. It's just, and he just takes their order.
Like, except and they the order Princeton or something. Like, that was the crazy thing. Cause he's graduating. I guess it's the end of their freshman year or sophomore year.
Yeah.
Oh, it's freshman year. I'm looking at it right now. Okay. So Lucy Lane, she's totally into this senior, this super stud or whatever. And he signs her yearbook and everything. He doesn't remember her name.
No.
But he asks her, fine. He signs it. He gives her a kiss on the cheek. And and she's like, oh, so you're going to be going to Princeton or something? He's like, nuh-uh. Hollywood's calling. I'm on my way. It's funny because it doesn't pay off then later. They do see him waiting tables. And he's like, yeah, the whole acting thing didn't work out. But there's no, like, hubris on their part where they're like, oh, my God, that's what could happen.
Yeah, this
they're
could
like,
be
no,
us,
we'll
right?
We'll have the steamed clams.
Yeah,
yeah,
they're like, clams.
Great.
Clams are the best. Yep. And that's – there's never, like, a follow-through with, like, wow, do you believe – yeah, no.
Yeah, I needed somebody to be like, wow, so that could really happen.
Yeah.
So this could be us in a few years. Nope.
Right.
Uh-uh. Everything's going to be great.
They know it. And let's face it. That redheaded kid can't sing that well either. Because when he sings at the very end, I was like, why? Why did we give him a solo?
Why are you singing? Just because we've seen you? Couldn't you just do a monologue for 2 minutes?
Yeah.
I don't know. He can't sing. So how about when they're dressed like they're, you know, Russian refugees and they're sitting in the snow outside?
What are they doing? What are they doing?
I don't know. I have no idea what they're doing. Because the other great thing about this movie sometimes is I cannot tell when people are themselves as the character or when they're performing a skit.
Their delivery
and the way that they act are the same.
Samesies. Mm-hmm.
Like when Bandana is crying about his sister who is beat up by somebody, that could have been when he's taking a shit on a stool in class.
Oh, yeah. He
and
does
I'm like,
do that.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I can't tell.
Yeah.
I can't tell when they turn it on and when they turn it off, which is.
That's the beauty of acting. There is no line. They are the. Like she gets upset about something and she goes, I need to channel this feeling into my acting. I need to remember this so that when I'm acting. Because that's what it becomes.
Yeah. But Bandana does pretend he's taking a shit for his.
Yeah, that's during one of the classes.
And I mean, his pants are down. Yeah. His bare ass is on that stool, that classroom stool.
Yeah, they're around the ankle.
That other people are going to use. That's disgusting.
And they didn't have Lysol wipes then, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, that guy from DC Cab needs to put a stop to this.
He should have, but he doesn't. It's sophomore year when.
Yeah.
P.S. Sophomore years, besides the shitting on the stool thing,
is
that when when Ralph Bandana guy, he recreates his sad memory. He's got some connection to Freddie Prinze, and all I kept thinking was Freddie Prinze Jr. for some reason. I was like, who cares about Freddie Prinze Jr.? But it's
not. I was waiting for him to go, and she's all that. It was just a bet. It was just a stupid bet.
But he reveals in their acting class, they have to, and they, again, they do this in acting classes where they like reveal and come to terms with your most vulnerable, saddest moment. And his has to do with Freddie Prinze.
It is so, it's so random and crazy. But I was thinking, go ahead.
Sorry. So besides when they pretend to be two Russians, there's another scene when Doris is with the redhead kid and she's pretending to be blind. She has walking stick. Remember?
She's walking with a little tin cup and somebody puts like a quarter in it. And she's like, what? Who did this? Why would they do that? Well, I guess I'll buy you a coffee. Like, this is
This is when he confesses that he's gay and this is an issue for him. And she's blind.
She's pretending to be blind, walking around the streets. This movie's crazy. Like, this movie has some really great ideas, but There's so much nonsense in between.
Now, this is when it's in their sophomore year after this has gone down. She's walking blind. That now our titular song is played. And so Bruno's dad.
Wow.
We don't know. And again, I wish we would have seen this. I guess Bruno and Coco have been collaborating on music together.
Right.
Would have been great to see that, but we
Two
don't.
People
Instead,
who,
we
as you
see...
said, should have been the main characters of this movie have been collaborating. She comes to him their first day of school, I think, and is like,
it was
I'm
after
start
the
a band.
Hot lunch thing.
Let's start
yeah.
a band. This mm-hmm. is going to be great. Let's do it. Me and you, we'll start a band. I got tits. Whatever that means.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's like, we just need to get a few more people. We got a band. It's great.
Yeah,
I just
that's
met
true.
You. This is cool.
She's real proud of her tits in the beginning, but when the guy wants her to show those tits, not so much.
You know what, Coco? Come down on one side of the argument or the yeah. other.
Either you're proud to have him or not so much, okay?
You want to show him off to a band, but not some creep with a camera in his apartment? Come on, make up your mind. Oh, my God.
So Bruno's dad is so proud of this collaboration that he yeah. plays the song Fame out of his speakers that he's had installed into his taxi cab. And before we know it, the entire school pours out of the building and is dancing in the street.
They're coming out, arms waving. There's
oh,
a
yeah.
huge traffic jam. First of all, the entire song plays. This mm-hmm. scene should have ended many times. Like, multiple times this scene should have ended.
Like you said, in the other dance scenes
Something.
That we saw in... I keep comparing it to Can't Stop Music.
Please.
Because you can't stop.
Let's talk about that all the time. Yeah.
I know you do. There is no... It's just a lot of people dancing. There's definitely some cool moves and some cool costumes. There's cool people playing instruments. But it's all so much happening
it's
at
chaotic.
Once.
Chaotic.
Yeah.
It's just
Which,
chaotic.
Again,
plus, a guy gets out of his truck. He wants to fight the kid's dad. He rips
yeah.
a speaker off the car.
Yeah, there's
like,
a fight that goes down.
There's a fist fight. It's yeah. nonsense.
It's
There's no reason for this. Like, it should have been more fun than it is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of tits and nips, how about
yeah.
how these kids, these boys, in the boys' room,
oh.
if you stand on the stalls, I guess there's like a window. You can just look into the girls' room.
Yeah,
and
just check it out.
We see this a couple times, but this is mm-hmm. when they're talking about the new girl, this blonde girl who ends up pregnant.
Oh, yeah.
So these guys are up there looking, and there's this chubby kid down at the bottom trying to get up, and he's yelling. He's like, I wrote it down because he's like, does she have pointy tits and nips like razors? What?
What?
This is lines of dialogue from a dance movie.
And nips like razors.
Nips
well,
like razors.
I mean,
it's crazy. They're eventually caught.
I think that's
caught,
what nipples look like before you be like, isn't that like a prepubescent boob? Would be like a nip. I don't know. Maybe don't get into the details on
wait,
that one.
Wait. Wait a minute, hold on. Now, Jamie, you're a lady, so you know more than I do, but I don't know if nipples are ever razors.
Here's they're not. But here's the thing, and I don't want to divulge too much in case I don't want to judge, but if there's pedophiles listen. That listen to our podcast.
Wait, I hope you're not afraid to offend the pedophiles.
Not offend them. I don't want to get them all hot and bothered by having a conversation about breasts. Children's
okay,
breasts.
Right. No, you're right. Yeah, all these kids are supposed to be in high school. You're right. That's a good point. Oh my God. Okay. All right.
All right. Let's move on.
All right.
Okay.
Oh, also, Leroy won't wear tights to class, which is weird because
oh, yeah.
not
he
brought
won't
up
to
until
dance class.
His second year of school.
And I guess it's because I don't know what he just is free to be Leroy. I guess that's what else. What do you wear in dance class otherwise?
I don't know. You don't put Leroy in a corner. I know that.
No, you don't. Ralph and Doris finally do get together. I think that's official during senior year or junior year. Sorry, junior year again. Bruno and Coco, I guess, are still going strong, but this is when Bruno's dad drives her home. But again, we don't see so much of them. I'm
no.
just seeing
Hold
what's...
Hold on. Sorry. Sorry. There are some things that happened in sophomore
in
year.
In sophomore year that I just glossed
yeah,
over. Sorry.
I don't want to... when Doris has to go sing at a child. mom's birthday party.
Oh, that's pretty great. Yeah, her mom doesn't let her go out because she's like, I booked you a performance. Like, you have to go. It's our friends, and they want you to be at their birthday party. And it's like this two-year-old's birthday party, and she's literally just singing happy birthday.
She's singing so badly. And these children, they all start crying. Kids are crying. Like, it is an appropriate reaction to how she's singing, but it's so weird that this is a part in the movie. This is when she was supposed to go to Rocky Horror, but she doesn't because she has to sing at this kid's birthday party.
At the birthday party. And then she gets to go the following year, and that's when she gets stoned and gets up there and dances with everyone. And I think
there's also Red performs a monologue about being gay. And he says the line where never being happy isn't the same as being unhappy. And I was like, oh, my God, this is so sad. This movie is so sad.
There's
like,
a lot
unnecessarily.
It's very melancholy at times. It's it's very teenager. You know how when you're a teenager, all of a sudden it's like, I don't know, just doomsday, sad. Sometimes you maybe weren't that kind of teenager. But at times
so
you get
saying
into this
that it's an accurate portrayal of teenagers.
I think at times.
At times,
at certain times.
All right, that's fair. This is also where Lisa, I don't know why I wrote Lisa's name down. Lisa is the dancer who doesn't work that hard.
Oh, it's when she's going to jump in front of the train.
Right. This is when she's told to leave the class, like just drop out by her teacher.
Yeah, that teacher is not nice at all. The teacher's just like, yeah, listen, you just don't have it. And you should know that now.
You know, better I tell you now than, you know, you find out later. The teacher is great. Because she is just no nonsense. She's even in there, like, getting ready, like, bitch, I got a class to teach.
Yeah.
Let's get this
she's like,
over
moving
with.
Along. I have to tell you, I got inspired watching her. I was like, oh, yeah, I guess that's how you have to handle shit sometimes. She's just like, this is it. She does do a little, like, sigh at the end, like, when
right.
she finally
when
leaves.
She does leave, the whole time
I love
thinking,
it, too. She's like, what am I going to tell my mother? Tell her to call me. I'll explain everything.
And the whole time, I'm like, why isn't the English teacher doing this with Leroy? Like,
how is Leroy still there? I agree.
How?
Totally agree.
Yes. Yeah, but she doesn't kill herself. She decides to transfer to the drama department.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's it with her. That's it with that character. Nothing else. Also, I have a question. This is the very last scene of sophomore year. Leroy is walking down the street and a bunch of dudes pull up in a car and start calling him gay or use gay slurs.
Yeah.
When yelling at Leroy. And did you see these guys in the car? Because they're the same guys that drove him to school the first day.
So I think that's it. I think that was it. So when he first got to the school, he was playing it cool for the audition, like he's not going to get in. But then when he got into the school, now it's a performing arts school, so these dudes he stays with thinks he's gay because he's in a performing arts school.
But they did drive him to the first day after he got in.
Yeah, but then I guess, you know, he's wearing roller skates and dancing.
Did they think they were dropping him off at football school?
I guess. Oh, performing farts? I don't know.
Performing farts. Way to go, Leroy. No wonder you're not wearing tights. You got to keep that ass open for the
fart. Keep it loose. Keep it loose for your farting.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, anyway, there's like, as we said before, bandana. Lucy Lane and Red Hair, they're all best friends. Like, they're all, I don't know if they live with him there. I guess they don't, but they all just hang out.
They hang out there a lot.
We watch Coco sing an entire song at a piano. Like, there are stretches in this movie where people just sing and we have to watch it. We have to watch the whole song.
Well, and unfortunately, the songs aren't as lively or as catchy. The titular song is, Fame is, but...
Right, yes.
Mm-hmm. And the Hot Lunch song I kind of like because
that
it's just
fun
and funky. But the other songs they sing feel like... I've never watched the movie High School Musical or anything like that, but they feel like they are being sung by performance. You know what I mean? Like, they have that feel like, oh, maybe if you're in this performing arts school, this is meaningful and beautiful. But if you're watching this movie, you're so confused by where everybody's... what's going on. This song is just taking up space. And you're like, oh, this is why it's a 2 hour long movie.
No, you're right.
Right?
No. Because, Hot Lunch or whatever, like that could have been in Greece too. That could have been performed by the Village People.
That
but the
final
rest of
song,
this is just, oh,
that
final
finale,
song is terrible.
It had moments where, again, I was like, okay, if I was in the audience of a performance arts school watching this, and when the chorus is singing and they're all dancing, I could see where you're kind of like moved by like, wow, look at all this talent in this room right now. All these kids singing and dancing and the music and the instruments. But watching it in a movie as the end scene, it wasn't climatic enough. Climatic?
Climactic.
Climactic.
You got to put some
syllable in there. I was missing.
That's all right. You can say it either way.
Or, you know what? Climatic. It wasn't like there was a climate change happening for me. It was just...
No climate changes in this movie. Or with other characters, like if you were related to that red-haired kid and you heard him sing at graduation, you'd be like, he spent 4 years doing this?
Yeah. What are you studying?
This is the payoff? Yeah. And what about all the other kids that are just there? They don't get... Yeah. Solos. They don't get anything.
Even Doris didn't get a solo. She sang Happy Birthday at a birthday party, but she has to just sing her heart out with the chorus.
They showed her at one point. I went, why is she in the audience? I thought she was on the other side of the stage.
She's with that big group. I love how her mom's always got her little flash camera with her. She's always taking pictures with that.
So crazy. So after this, Coco gets a ride home. You talked about this briefly from Synthesizer's dad, who had his cab decked out with the whole speakers and all that.
He's so proud of his son.
This is a crazy thing. She says she lives at this like super glitzy apartment, which clearly she doesn't, but he drops her off. And she's getting out, and this cab driver's like, hey, you make my son really hot.
Yeah. So creepy.
She's like, I get a lot of people excited with my music.
Yeah.
This is so awkward and uncomfortable for this kid sitting in the back of this cab.
But even, again, I would like to see a little more of their little romance then.
Right.
Or them writing songs. Because that's another thing. We see this romance kind of happen between Doris and Ralph. And then Ralph kind of takes off for a little while with this stand-up career. And really, Doris is just kind of supporting him. Where it would have been more interesting to see these two that are songwriters and figuring this stuff out together,
There'd be something other than Ralph in his... I think second stand-up performance being like, you don't know what it's like in the industry. Like, Ralph, come on. You did this for the first time yesterday.
Yeah.
Can you not play like a strung-out heroin addict right now?
It's everything. Well, I do like it's by senior year that we learn that even sometimes their dreams are not all they're meant to be. Like, Ralph became – he was – after two nights, he was a successful comedian.
Oh, my God.
And realized that this was not all it was cracked up to be. And then at the same time, the next scene is where Coco is. That was creepy. So Leonard Cohen comes up to Coco at a diner and is like,
right? I love this guy. I love this guy. He introduces himself as Francois Lefay. What? I was like screaming at the TV going, Coco, this is porn. Yeah. Like I can smell it a mile away on this
guy. How do you not? Yeah. He approaches her at a diner and it's like, you're beautiful. I must have to contact your agent. She's like, I don't really deal with agents. No. He's like, oh, great. Come here for the screen test.
Oh, I hear you about those agents. Like, this guy is slime, lady, come on.
You gotta see it. But she doesn't. Even when she's walking up to his apartment, it's clearly an apartment. She's like, where's the crew? He's like, oh, I'm a one-man show. I do it Mediterranean style, whatever that means, which is, I guess, slutty. And next thing you know, he's like, all right, look in the camera. And she's totally uncomfortable. She's crying, like we said, but she does. And that's creepy, too, because she's crying, and he's like, oh, yeah, that's good.
It's so creepy. He's like, do you mind, sticking your thumb in your mouth? And, you're like a schoolgirl.
Oh,
my God.
Oh, it's Coco. So, like,
I didn't think it was certainly – nudity in films doesn't bother me, and it's nothing that I really get too hung up on. And even when they're like looking in the window at the girls, locker room and stuff, I'm like, okay, whatever, Porky's, blah blah blah, like, okay, that's kind of funny, I guess. But the fact that we see her take her clothes off here was kind of upsetting. Like, we did not need to see that. Like,
well, especially because of what it is,
right? Like we know what's going on. Mm-hmm. Like, you could I don't know, shoulders up. You could have showed her take.
It could have stopped
down.
Exactly as
she's
she does
crying.
A little.
Like,
right.
That's what you should be watching her cry, not mm-hmm. like, yeah, take it all off because I'm going to show this in this movie.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was a bit too much.
I agree. Or you could have had sort of this tasteful angle of it so that you didn't have to actually see her razor blades, I guess.
Or have this guy, like, maybe it's because she was such a strangely willing participant.
I thought her attitude was so spunky throughout the rest of the movie. I thought she was going to, walk out and be like, no, yes. You know, that's what I wanted from
her.
Or
have him sell it more, like pretending that this is an actual audition for something. Mm-hmm. But no, the moment he's like, take your shirt off. And the moment she's like, all right, I'll start to unbutton this. He's so in. And he's like, holy shit, she'll just do anything I say, I guess.
Uh-huh.
It's so uncomfortable. I'm so glad those guys didn't make Mary Steenburgen do this in that Dead of Winter movie where she sat on the couch. Like, that's what I was thinking of. She was on a couch and they just put a camera on her.
Oh, that's right.
Their motives were even more terrible, though. They had killed someone. Go back and listen to our Dead of Winter episode. That was fun, too.
It's a good one.
Well, anyway, we've kind of gone through all the important things about this movie. I did just look at my notes for when that girl was in the abortion place, and my notes literally say, what's happening? Who is she talking to? Is this an acting class? Why is there a nurse there? Wait, she's having an abortion? My notes for a scene in this movie. I did not know what was happening start to finish.
Who is she talking to? Herself? No, a nurse? She's pregnant? And again, there's a scene, with the first year she gets in. There, she's part of this like weird jealousy with maybe Leroy likes her, but no, Leroy kind of likes Coco, or Coco and Leroy might have a thing going on.
We never see Coco and Leroy together, which I did not understand.
There's this weird dance thing that they do when they're in dance class and they're all talking, but they still have to dance. And the girls are kind of fighting.
They're doing weird folk dance. Like they're joining their hands up high and walking in a circle. And they're arguing because she's like Leroy's spoken for. And I'm like, I haven't seen you two together at all in this movie.
And again, I thought Leroy was like a friend to all.
Yeah.
The teachers.
He's ready to mingle. Yeah.
He's single and ready to mingle. Yeah.
He is Leroy. He's not a one woman man.
No, he belongs to no one, yet everyone at the same time. she brings the rich girl brings Leroy home to her rich parents or her stepmom. She does have this whole bad relationship with her stepmom. Yeah. And, that's what I wonder. Yeah. Is this Leroy's baby? I don't know.
I think it's definitely Leroy's baby. But again, it's never expressly said.
But then I want to see that. Like, I want to see in the hospital scene when Leroy is yelling at the teacher, I want the rich girl to come out of another room looking sad because she just had her abortion and look up at Leroy and he's like, what's going on? And now Leroy's in the middle of two conflicts because he's got the conflict with the teacher. And I know. Would have been so.
It would be so great if a conflict in this movie was resolved.
And then they bust into song.
Sing a song. Not just they all poof disappear because the three characters you just said are not singing at the end of this movie.
No, they don't make it to the finale.
They don't make it. And like you said before, and like you're talking about right now, Leroy goes to visit his English teacher at the hospital where her husband appears to be dying and she's crying.
P.S. The hospital looks more like a courtroom, the outside of a courtroom, doesn't
that
it?
That is clearly like a Law and Order set. Like, that is... Yeah.
She's like on a bench, not at all in like a hospital waiting room.
Because they shot that abortion scene downstairs and was like, well, we can go upstairs. I guess this is a hospital now. We've already established it in the last scene. Yeah. Right. But he goes in and yells at his English teacher. She's like, you should have thought about that before you failed for 3 years straight. And then he sits down and goes, so how's your old man doing?
Yeah,
end of
holds
scene.
Her hand.
Mm-hmm. End of scene, end of characters, basically end
Bye,
of movie.
Bye, Leroy. Yeah. Well, we do have the little bit. We do get to see, like you said, maybe almost too much of Ralph trying to make it. And then Ralph not having, realizing that success isn't everything it's meant to be. Then he bombs, and then he bombs with the redhead.
At the end of this scene, when Ralph is in the, I guess, comedian's dressing room at the end.
Yeah.
And the red hair kid comes in and they had this heart to heart. He looks in the mirror and he's like, yeah, you know what? I don't think this is for me. And you know what? The more I think about it, Freddie Prince didn't want this either. I'm like, what? Yeah, you just changed your mind about everything right now.
That's how quickly things turn.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, because then he's not in the finale either.
No. I don't know what what's going on.
We get measured for our cap and gowns.
They have a giant ruler taped to the wall.
Yep,
and everybody
that's how
stands
you get measured.
Yep. Like, yeah, I guess you're that tall. Here's a cap and gown for
Here's
you.
Here's a hat that'll fit you.
They have to put hats on everybody's heads, and if they're too big, you shake it off.
It's how performing arts gets their caps and gowns.
I guess.
The final song, "The Body Electric," I think is what it's called. I think.
It's not good. Just sing Fame. Just sing Fame.
Yeah, exactly. That's what we
all
want to hear.
You heard it. You all danced to it. It was great. Play it again. Who cares? I don't need to
hear
a different
song.
Yeah.
See it live. I want to see it.
Yeah.
And
that's it. That's 2 hours and 15 minutes long. So what'd you think? Was it great?
Well, as we talk about it, it makes me feel like I didn't like it so much, but I did.
Oh, okay.
There were moments enough that I liked it. I do wish that I feel like if I had seen it in high school, like I said, when I was at the peak of my own little, theater childhood, I think I would have liked it a little more and maybe even gotten into the songs a little more. Maybe it's the songs felt dated to me now. I mean, I liked it enough to be engaged with it, watching it this time around, and there was enough parts of it that I found it to be a good enough movie, but
okay.
I'm not like, oh yeah, Fame, no, I didn't love it. I gave it a mediocre thumb because it's not terrible.
Sideways.
Yeah. So it's like a side thumb because it's not, I definitely see how it's not just terrible.
Yeah.
But I also didn't think it was amazing the way people think Fame is amazing. It's, wasn't what I and Debbie
don't,
what's
no,
her name
people the, do think it's a I don't know
is it the
I mean,
show
it
that's
well,
more amazing
I think it's probably more the show
Debbie
I mean, it
Allen's
did, it
in
did
the show
fine it did fine in the you know in the
well what did you
run,
think of it what did you I, think
I think I started with a sideways thumb but the more I thought about it the less I liked it.
Yeah.
I think that there were some good things. Like I said, the audition thing. If you just want to watch the auditions,
yeah,
it's
just
the
watch
most
that first
entertaining
part. Yeah.
part of this movie.
If they took our notes about the characters and then maybe. What is your you must have some kind of crazy. What's your recommendation?
It's not
I almost
that want
to
crazy.
Watch a Felicity after watching Fame just because that's not my recommendation.
This movie? I don't understand.
Well, no, because she goes to school in New York, I guess. That's really the only relation. And it goes through her whole career at school.
No, I am a big fan of the troubled students teacher movies, like teacher getting through to troubled students, and not the way that it was in Class of 1984 where he murdered all the students.
Okay, good.
More of a, let's say, contemporary, like Dangerous Minds or a Stand and Deliver type movie.
Sure.
But I'm going to recommend To Sir with Love from 1967, where Sidney Poitier goes into London. The East End. I think it's the East End. It's like a bad area. And they're like a bunch of rotten, snot-nosed kids. And he goes in and connects with them. And it's super great. And it's one of the – I don't think it's the original one of those types of movies, but it's an older one. And I saw it not too long ago, a couple years ago for the first time. It's really good. So that's my recommendation. So it's
good
not that weird.
Recommendation. Yeah. Not too – kind of still along the same lines. Yeah. I feel like I brought this one up before. Did I ever talk about I'm Dying Up Here, the TV show from Showtime?
Yes.
It's really good. And I've just read that it was canceled. That's why it hasn't come out with a new one. Yeah.
And because you already recommended that, you'll just recommend Felicity, too. And we'll just,
there you go. It's just double. There you go. Double your pleasure, double your fun.
So what are we going to talk about? Oh, it's my birthday pick, Jamie.
It's
my birthday pick.
Hey, birthday pick. So do you know?
Oh, I know.
You gotta know.
I know. I went back and forth. I actually had this on my birthday shortlist for a while. I don't think I ever mentioned it, though. So it's not like a Howard the Duck. We had so much fun in our Patreon episode where we talked about Commando that I thought we can't only allow patrons to hear us talk about the wonderful work of Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Okay. Why so would we? And your wonderful impersonation.
Yes, which I did not do enough on that episode. So I'm really going to have to work it out.
Well, it's your birthday one. You should. Yeah.
So we're going to do two birds with one stone here. We're going to do an Arnold movie, but we're also going to do another Stephen King movie because we're going to talk about The Running Man.
Oh, boy. For the birthday.
Enters a game show where you have to, like, American Gladiators type murder a bunch of superhuman monster people.
Sounds intense.
They're not really superhuman, but they have, like, cool body armor and stuff. So
that'll
be our next movie, my birthday choice. Super fun. And, boy, we're just getting into – now we're off because it's my birthday. Right around the corner is October.
Yeah, then we have October. That's a hot month for us.
Then,
yep.
Then what comes after October? Well, it's Sly's Giving, of course. So who knows what we're going to do for that? Then
coming
we have December. I'm not sure if it's going to be a Billy December. It might be. We'll see. So we have all sorts of stuff coming. Yeah, the last few months of the year, we're really ramping up here. So people can go to iTunes and give us a rating on iTunes, like a star rating on iTunes. You should all do that. We don't mention that a lot, but if you haven't,
that's helpful.
Just click on the number of stars, it should always be 5, that you would want to give us. And it does help other people discover the show, so please do that. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Like we said, we have a Patreon, so patreon.com/goodtimesgreatmovies. Go there. I was on a couple of podcasts, but you know what? I think this is going to come out before those, so no need to mention those.
All right. Well, I'll that's great, though. I love it. When they come out, fair enough.
So, everybody, thank you so much for listening, and make sure you go watch The Running Man so you know what we're going to be talking about 2 weeks from now.
Yeah. Take care.
Neither of us had it right. You said Darcy. I said Dorothy. It's Doris.